Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes.
It's pouring with rain, Richard.
I'm going to have to fade this bit in because otherwise it will suddenly sound like it's a deluge. But it is.
What you can hear is we are, as previously, two, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to get quite noisy. We are two elderly gentlemen sitting in a car outside Plainmoor, having just been into Aaron Downs' press conference.
It's like the end of the world, Guy.
Fortunately, I have no leaks in this car. Big developments today. You'll have seen a statement from the Talker United Supporters Trust, which unveils to the world their consortium.
Yeah.
Which is a consortium.
And then their bid with that consortium. Yeah.
So we've got a slightly different format. Unless we get washed away on the podcast this week, we will begin by talking to Nick Broderick of the Talker United Supporters Trust, who tells us a little bit more about what's happened today. We'll then move on to talk to Talker United interim manager Aaron Downs.
We will.
About football.
Yep.
About last Saturday's win over Hampton and Richmond and the prospects for the weekend coming up. And then, weather permitting, we'll be back on the other side of Nick Broderick and Aaron Downs.
Should we try and find somewhere dry?
We're joined by Nick Broderick from the Talker United Supporters Trust. Nick, there's been a statement released this morning. Can you just outline what that says for us?
Well, thanks for asking me. Yes, it's been a long time in the planning. Well, I say a long time. It's been happening since Clark Osborne made his announcement on the 22nd of February. And we've been approached by a number of prospective investors or bidders into the football club, but Michael Westcott being one of them. Was clearly the standout person, the one who has the vision for how he can see Talker United progressing into the future, and importantly, that there is a Talker United that's going to go into the future. So we've been in discussions with him now for...
Oh, I think we've lost... Are you back, Nick?
He's back.
Oh, okay.
No, carry on.
You're back, Nick. You just faded out for a moment. Carry on.
All right, okay. We've been in discussions with him for the best part of the last 3 weeks. And in that time, he's been trying to find others who would join him and invest in the project. And over that period of time, he's found another four people. In total, there are five investors. Four of them are local businessmen. One is a long-standing Talker United fan who lives in America.
Okay.
They're all putting money in, apart from Joe Lovell. He's putting in expertise and knowledge as part of the consortium.
Okay.
And Tust have been offered the opportunity to be part of this, and initially it's going to be a 50-50 split.
So it'll be part fan-owned and part business consortium, and the statement says that by the start of next season you envisage that fans will own half the club. This is a very exciting development, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're really excited by it. I mean, I know Tust has said in the past that we have no desire to take over and run the football club, but this is, well, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to return the club to being a proper, fully community, fan-owned football club. So initially, it's with a lot of financial support from these investors. Mm-hmm. Trust has to pull its weight, and that's why we're talking about starting a community share issue.
That would be to raise as much as £150,000, Nick.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, that's only, I mean, the amount of money that the investors are putting in is a lot more significant than that. But that would be our sort of helping hand sort of thing. And in the last half an hour, someone's very kindly already £2,000. So, wow. You know, the ball has started rolling, and we're pretty confident that can achieve that £150,000 and maybe more in a short period of time.
Nick, you can probably hear the rain lashing down on the car here, Nick. Sorry about that. But this is something that Tust has been, you know, even before the opportunity arose, this is something that Tust has been working towards, isn't it?
Well, we obviously wanted to save the football club, that's for sure. It was a question of finding the right vehicle to be able to do such a thing. And Michael Westcott came sort of out of the blue and put his proposals to us. And we've followed along with him and joined with him. And today's statement is a combination of, I can tell you, a lot of hard work. There's been a lot of meetings, a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of heartache with people dropping out and dropping in. And but, you know, this is an exciting prospect for Torquay United, because the important thing is that if this bid is accepted, because that's the next stage, of course, that it has to be accepted. If this bid's accepted, then there is a bright future for Torquay United. Maybe in the short term, they're going to be a bit of hardship, but in the longer term, medium to longer term, then the club's off life support, and it's got a bright future.
Fabulous. So the rain is hammering down today, Nick, but there's a bright future ahead.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the message to send out. You know, I've already seen on some of the forums some negativity about the statement, which is a great shame, really, because there's no need for people to pick out sort of tiny bits of it and say, oh, well, this is terrible, they can't do this, they can't do that. I mean, let's look at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is ensuring that there's a football club for people to go to every other Saturday or Tuesday night to go and watch. Surely that's the most important thing, that there's still a football club.
Absolutely. Nick Broderick, thank you very much for joining us. Nick Broderick from Tust. I'm sure we'll speak again over the next few weeks. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Nick.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks very much for having me. Thank you.
So, Aaron, back to last Saturday, a very doggy performance and a good performance by the team against a very good Hampton side.
Yeah, good performance, good result, more importantly, which is the most important thing at this time of the season. The players performed really well, especially first half. We were really happy with the in-possession first half, but then out of possession, we were good. There was a few moments that we've reflected on and looked back at that we could have been better in, but overall, we're really happy with how the boys played and how they performed on the day. So it was something that was needed and what we wanted, and a clean sheet was nice, and it's it was the focus on the week, was our sort of our defensive structure and how we went about approaching the game, and the boys performed the game plan perfectly, really. So I was really happy with the players and everybody that contributed to it, and it was a great atmosphere at the stadium, and you know, everybody played their part, so yeah, really happy with it.
Yeah, Devon Day really paid off. The atmosphere within the stadium was electric, and do you feel that potentially helped the players to kick on that extra step?
Yeah, definitely. We spoke about it, you know, late on in the game. You know, we were under a bit of pressure for a probably 15-minute spell midway through the second half, and we dug in. We got through a couple of chances that went towards Hampton, and we got through that, and then the last 20 minutes, 15 minutes or so, we seen out the game really well, and when we needed that extra boost, we got it from the supporters, and you know, whether they were in yellow or in green or red, it doesn't matter. We got that support which we needed, and I'm sure heading up to Yeovil tomorrow, I know we'll travel well. It's a local derby, so I'm sure there'll be a great atmosphere from the home side, but also from our supporters. I know they travel really well in numbers, so looking forward to seeing them up in Yeovil.
A few knocks picked up against Hampton, particularly we saw Ross Marshall limping towards the end. Any updates on the injury front for us?
Yeah, well, a few have been assessed this morning, like I say, Marsh and Dorse both carry knocks, both touch and go really. Not 100% certain on them, as we speak right now. So we've got to assess them out on the pitch, but Jarves will be out. He's still not right. He was ill last week, but he also copped a knock at Tunbridge on his knee, and he had to come off later on in the second half. He copped it in the first half and tried to carry on, bless him. So we've had that scan and we're just waiting on the final outcome of that, but it doesn't look sinister by any means. I don't think it's going to be a long one at all, but he's not quite ready for tomorrow. So Giles will be out, and Dorse and Marsh are both tight really.
Now of course it's Easter weekend, two games fairly quick succession, Western on Monday, but starting tomorrow, trip to the league leaders Yeovil, but a chance to maybe get something there because they haven't been flowing as well as they have throughout the rest of the season, have they, recently?
They're a good side, there's no two ways about it. They're not 7 points clear with the game in hand for no reason, so we know it's going to be a tough game. We know it's going to be a good game, really looking forward to it, and an opportunity for us to carry on from Saturday and build over this weekend as well. But the foremost sort of thoughts is on the Friday game, tomorrow's game. That's the most important thing in our mind at the minute, and we'll deal with Monday when we get there. But we know that they're a good side, regardless of, I know they've lost the last two home games, but they picked up a very good result, and it's a tough place to go up Braintree. They're 14 unbeaten at home, and they went and won there. So it was a really tough place to go, Braintree. We found that out a few weeks ago when we were there. So that was a really good result from them. So they're going to get buoyed by that, and they know that having lost two home games in a row, that they're going to want a reaction in front of a really good crowd, I believe, that's going to be there. So no two ways about it. It's going to be a tough game, but one we're really looking forward to. It's very rare that Torquay United in the National League South goes to a team and is sort of looked at as underdogs. So as far as the league position is concerned, so for once we'll relish that opportunity to do that. But we know that if we play well and if we perform the way we can perform, then we definitely know we can get a result there. So we go there with belief. We go there with an understanding of what an opposition can do, but also knowing what we can do and have a plan ourselves. And if we execute it well, then we feel we can go and get a positive result for us and make it a good weekend.
As you've alluded to there, an expected big crowd at Hewish Park tomorrow. Yellow Army expected to travel in numbers. They always do generally for the Oval game. It's one of the ones that they really enjoy. So a good chance to get behind the boys. And then with Team Up for Torquay on Monday, a good chance to get another bumper crowd here at Plainmoor.
We've got fantastic supporters and they travel in their numbers. And it's been some poor performances from us over this season away from home. And we've still had great support. So we know we're going to get great support there. And we know how many numbers travel, and this is a big game in the calendar. It was always looked at, home and away. Yeovil, Torquay is always a big game for both clubs, and one that we're relishing. We're really looking forward to, and I know our supporters are. I know we'll travel well, and however many's there, whether there's 10 or 1,000, they're going to make themselves known, and they're going to make the noise that is going to boost us when we need it. So before a ball's kicked, we thank everybody for making that journey, and we look forward to seeing you all up there. And with regards to Team Up on Monday, another great initiative from the football club, and doing everything we can to help people in the community and bring people into the football club for the next generation of supporters, but also getting people in the door to help us get over the line for this season. And hopefully, you know, moving forward, we can secure a few more local supporters that hopefully have a really good day out. The performance on the pitch does help, of course, so we've got to make sure we play our part as players and as staff. But another great initiative from the football club and one we're really looking forward to. But first and foremost, we've got a role to play and a job to do on Friday away at Yeovil, and yeah, we're looking forward to that.
One of the things we talked about after the game on Saturday was the kind of the engine room of the team, the more experienced players, Mark Halstead, Asa Hall, Dean Moxey, Kevin Dawson. How important are the experienced players to getting through what's quite a difficult time at the moment?
It's nice to have them, you know, fully fit and raring to go, and they've been fantastic. You know, their players, you know, as soon as it all sort of kicked off, shall I say, I gathered them round and said, I'm going to need you. I'm really going to need you on and off the pitch. You know, I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to have to, you know, trust you. And but I couldn't ask for better experienced players. I couldn't ask for a better group of players, if I'm honest. You know, they're all fantastic. They've been brilliant. But they've been pivotal to the game on Saturday, but also, you know, in helping me settle into my role. So really lucky to have, you know, the people you just said, and you talk about Tom Lapsley, you talk about even, you know, people like Ross Marshall and Brett McGavin and Bradley Ash, and, you know, there's some, you know, Dwayne Afori Achimpong, you know, experienced players. Dwayne knows the club inside out. So really good blokes, but really good professionals as well, and have helped me out no end.
And Brad Ash sometimes, I think, doesn't get the credit he deserves for the work that he puts in. He really stepped up on Saturday, didn't he? Because he had to lead the line. He must have covered every blade of grass.
There's a couple of ways you can lead a line as a striker. You don't have to be a target man and big, boldy chest. You don't have to do that. You can be, you can lead it in a different way. And Brad did that for us Saturday. He harassed the defence. He kept his shape when we needed him to. He stretched the opposition when we needed to. He secured the ball. He caused problems. He received the ball in the box, and therefore now you've got a person who can turn on a sixpence inside the box. You're nervous about touching him, and he gets himself a penalty. So that's the kind of role that Brad can bring to this team, and he's done that. As you say, he's not got the sort of plaudits that he might have and probably could have done. He's got 11 goals, 10 in the league, so he's our top scorer and someone we've relied on a lot this season. We missed him when he was out. Now he's back, he's flying, he's fully fit, and he's in good form.
I was going to ask about Brad as well.
That's
what
right.
About Big Dwayne? Because obviously, if Jarvis is out, and like as you just described, that's a tough old job for Brad. Work rate and on the legs. Is Dwayne fit?
Dwayne's fit. Yeah, he missed that day purely on a minor knock that he copped in training. Funnily enough, an unopposed session, and he bumped his knee on the AstroTurf, funnily enough. So he was just touch and go. But he's fit. He's trained all week. He's raring to go. And Dwayne's key for me. Someone that, you know, if I'm 100% honest, it was my sort of risk to bring him back to the club, because I've known Dwayne. I've played with him, and he's a good friend of mine. So, and I know what you're getting with Dwayne, and I trust him, and I like him as a person a lot, and I like him as a player. So he's going to be really important to us, whether Jarves is available or not available. He was always going to be important to us moving forward with these next seven games. So really great to have Dwayne fully fit and back with us.
And just finally, sort of going back a bit to Brad, I thought it was really great how the Lapsley, Will, they sort of got close to him, so he wasn't isolated up there. And I presume away from home that's tougher to do, though, isn't it?
It depends how the game goes, you know. Like you know, away from home, at home, it's, you know, you got to try and take those sort of things away. Of course, there's a certain element of mindset that comes into that, but it's really important that you those players you noted, Stobbsy, you know, Will, Laps, whether it's, you know, Dawes, Ethan, they're all players, got good engines, they're fit, they're quick, they can get up and support Brad and Brad's work rate. So it's important that we make sure we're all in touch. So with the ball is going into Brad, then we've got people around him to support him. He's not isolated. There's going to be moments where he won't be, you know, where he will be isolated. He's got to do a roll and buy a foul or buy some time and hold it up and allow people to come back into the game. But if we can get people close to him quickly, then Brad's role becomes easier and he becomes a lot more effective. So that's something that we've looked at and worked on. So it's important that the players do understand that and get close to him.
So if you can hear us, because the rain has abated
a little bit, yeah. It's not hailing anymore.
No. The sun's going to come out then.
It looks like the sun's just about to peek through those clouds, Guy.
Interesting chats with Nick Broderick.
Yep.
And with Aaron, of course, because there's business to transact on the football pitch, which we'll talk about a bit later. But let's talk about ownership matters first, Rich.
Yeah. How was your holiday, by the way?
It was great. It was really great. I'm not going to bang on about it, but looking out at that rain teeming down, this time last week, I was in somewhere where it was warmer and drier. I had a beer in my hand and there wasn't a cloud in the sky.
Lovely.
Just saying. But happy to be back. And I'm happy to have been back in time to see that news, which is really positive.
Yeah, it sounds it, doesn't it?
It does.
I think Nick has also highlighted the fact that he's also picked up some negativity on forums, but that the negativity and forums go hand in hand these days.
And you're bound to get that. You can't stick your head above the parapet without somebody taking a pot shot,
can you? No, exactly. It's stopped raining.
It has stopped raining. So we're talking about a Tusk-led consortium, which would be part fan-owned and part business consortium.
I think it's a consortium is led by Michael Westcott.
Right.
We know
Michael Westcott.
Well, you do, yeah.
I used to work with Mike. Yeah, he was at the Herald Express. He's a very, very good reporter and a good guy. So, you know, happy to see Mike get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they've invited Tusk in to take 50% ownership with them, and then the consortium would have 50% in order to bring a bit more money in as well. Now, it sounds like Tusk won't be putting as much money as the consortium will, but they do need some money now, Tusk, to get this off the ground.
Now, they're talking about raising £150,000 with a community share issue.
In what?
And having that in place, hopefully by the start of next season. It's a tall order.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people coming forward. We've already heard Nick say that a generous donation of £2,000 has been made in the last hour since the statement came out.
Yeah.
And there are generous people around. There are people who will do that, but we need a lot of them.
Yeah.
There will be an opportunity for people to get involved with smaller scale donations. There already is. There's a fighting fund going on.
Yep.
So we can all play a part in this. It's a positive move forward, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's nice to have some names behind. I mean, I said in the paper this week, Nick is quoted in the paper this week as saying there's nothing sinister going on, just doesn't want his name out yet. Well, now his name's out.
His name is out. And I've spoken
to him. And other names are out, yeah.
I had a quick chat with Michael Westcott before we went in to see Aaron Downs, because I was trying to get him onto the phone, but he's a very, very busy man. But he said, one of the things he said was the reason for the statement this morning, we owe it to the fans in the absence of any other news coming out, which is a good take on things, because there has been, because of all these non-disclosure agreements, because nobody really knows what's going on.
Well, no one's put their head above until now.
And there's been a vacuum until now.
Yeah.
But due diligence work starts for that consortium next week.
Right.
So there's not much of the season to go. This is probably going to drag to the end of the season.
Yeah, we're going to get to the end of the season with Torquay staying up, aren't we?
And then
it's going to be a summer of interesting developments,
I guess. It's going to be a fascinating summer.
I mean, we don't know. We know that they've put a bid in. Now, the bids had to be in by last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, or was it the Tuesday before? I can't remember. But anyway, we don't know if anyone else has put a bid in.
No, that's
someone else might have put a bid in, and that wouldn't surprise me.
We suspect three other players. Yeah,
I don't think all three of those will have ended up putting a bid in. I expect one might have, but we shall see.
Should we talk football?
Let's talk the beautiful game.
I want to talk a little bit about Devon Day.
Yep.
Which
it was a funny old thing, wasn't it?
It was good though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was nice. And one person in particular to start with, a fellow by the name of Russell Terry.
Yep.
Who's a hasher. He's a friend of mine. He's an Exeter City season ticket holder.
That's not drugs, is
that's
it?
That's nothing to do with drugs. It's to do with running.
Okay.
Hashers follow flower trails around the place. There was a hash from right here where we're sitting the other day.
Okay.
Boots and Laces, where various members of
Hashers. Wind around?
I'm not sure because I wasn't here, but...
I know you're a bit of a hasher.
There would have been a trail from here set out in dots of flower for about 5 or 6 miles.
Yep.
They would all have gone off running around it. Sometimes with difficulty. Sometimes the trails are a bit hard to follow. And then it will have ended up back here at Boots and Laces for a couple of pints and a bag of chips.
It always ends up at a pub, doesn't it?
Always ends up at a pub. Yeah. That's the beauty of hash running. Money was raised for Torquay United.
Oh, well done.
Several local hashers got together. Well done to them. Now, Olive, as Russell Terry is known in hashing circles, he's an Exeter City season ticket holder. He's raising money for prostate cancer research. Mm-hmm. And he walked to the game.
Okay.
On Saturday, he walked down as an Exeter fan to the game, and that helped him raise £1,000.
How long did that take?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's a long old walk.
Yeah.
But,
what, is it 25, 26 miles or something?
He was one of the Exeter fans who came along. A lot of Exeter, a lot of Plymouth fans, Nottingham Forest fans, Brighton fans we've had in. It's one of those things where people kind of feel they can turn up in their club colours.
Yeah.
And show that they're helping Torquay United, but well done. Well
it's
done,
a mark Olive. Of the days, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well done, Olive, and well done to everybody who took part in Devon Day. Nice to see Neil Warnock here.
Yep.
He was being wined and dined before the game, and there was he had his name chanted from the popular side,
did
which
he?
I imagine he enjoyed.
Didn't hear that.
He did give us a wave when he was asked to do so. So it's good. The Hampton and Richmond game. We talked about the engine room of the team. It was 3 points squeezed out of the game, wasn't it? It wasn't a lovely game to watch.
I don't know. I quite enjoyed the game, but
if
it hadn't been for the penalty and it had been a 0-0 draw, you would have been very disappointed not to have won it.
Yes, you would. I feel like we wrung 3 points out rather than dominating the game.
Yeah. There was a period in the second half, wasn't there, that where they were under a bit of pressure, but then Brett McGavin threw his body in the way of one shot, and someone else threw their body in the way of another shot, and the highlight for me was Asa Hall was brilliant.
I thought he was there. Yeah. Dean Moxey got man of the match, which I wouldn't argue with for a moment.
Yeah.
But I think there were other candidates. Asa played superbly.
Asa was the
standout
candidate. Mark
Holstead had a great game,
candidate.
I thought the keeper had a great game.
Well, you say that, but when he made a save in the second half, it was the first time that I'd actually mentioned his name in the report.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Now, to my mind, watching the game, I thought maybe it's the not so much the saves, it's the dominating area. I thought he had a good game. One of the great joys on Saturday was just spending a few minutes just watching Tom Lapsley. Early in the game, they put their left back on him, and I thought, he should come with a warning sign that says Tom Lapsley may cause irritation.
Yeah.
Because he rather wonderfully wound that left back up to the extent that I think he got booked.
Yeah, he did.
And Tom was just absolutely in his face constantly. It's an object lesson in how to do that kind of thing.
That
in a
kind of
match.
Thing.
The dark
down
arts
with
of
this
football.
Kind of thing.
Oh, up with this kind of thing when it comes to Tom. I hope to see him doing that at Yeovil tomorrow. We've got 7 games left.
Yeah, and we've got injuries.
5 of them away.
5 of them away.
It's because of the postponements.
Yeah, we've only got one more game after Monday at home, which is the last game of the season we're having at Waterlooville.
Weird, isn't it?
So it's 4 games in between. We're all away. Mm. And, you know, these 2 games are so important. I spoke to Aaron on Tuesday for the back page of the Herald. And the Easter period is so important in every season.
It is.
Let alone this one.
But, you know, realistically, we're not going up or down, are we? Although the teams behind us
I'm disregarding Taunton and Truro, because whatever they do, whatever we do, they can catch us and pass us quite easily because of their amazing games in hand. I'm disregarding them. All we need to do is stay clear of the bottom 4 rather than anything worry about Taunton and Truro, to be honest with you.
Waterlooville, that's Dover,
Dartford.
The teams that are down there are struggling.
Yeah.
But we can't take anything for granted, can we? I mean, we've played 6 games under Aaron Downes. We've won 2, drawn 2, lost 2.
Yep.
And that's exactly the same run of form that Yeovil are on at the moment.
Is it really?
Their last
didn't realise
six games.
That. Okay.
1-2, drawn 2, lost 2. So tomorrow's game might be a little bit closer.
They were so far ahead of everyone else at one point, but they're now slowly being drawn back into it with five games to go, as you say. That might be troubling them a bit.
I mean, they're 7 points clear of Chelmsford with a game in hand.
Yeah.
They can't win the league tomorrow, but my elementary, rudimentary mathematics suggests they might be able to win the league on Monday at Weymouth if they beat us tomorrow.
Right.
So they've got a lot to play for tomorrow, as have we.
Indeed.
They beat us 3-1 here
in
November. Brett McGavin got the goal for us that day. They've got 4 ex-goals in the squad at the moment. Jamie Sendles-White is there. Alex Fisher, Reece Murphy, and of course Frank Nublé.
Yes.
Who this time last season was on a pretty impressive run for us, wasn't he?
Yeah, 3 goals in 9 games, but more than that, it was his strength and physical side.
We liked it. He's very good on social media, Frank.
Yeah.
He got a lot of stick here when he came play here for Yeovil, and he took it in the spirit it was intended, I think. You know, he's heard it all before. Yeah. He's a pro, he's a good player, he's a good guy. You know, I hope he has a very, very good season, but not tomorrow.
But not tomorrow.
And then Weston on Monday, they're 15th in the league at the moment.
They're
with us.
Yeah.
We had a very bad night up there in October.
That was one of the worst nights of the season, wasn't it?
It was. It was
3-0?
3-2.
3-2, sorry.
Which flattered us, to be honest.
But the problem with that was the injury to Aaron Jarvis at the end there, probably a couple of minutes before the end of the game when he clattered into the hoardings and, excuse my French, buggered up his knee.
He did. Well, if memory serves me correctly, that was when there was a bizarre own goal, our second goal.
Mm.
And it was while challenging the fullback and kind of pressuring him into doing that that he went off the pitch and clattered his knee. They've got Reuben Reid still in their squad.
Yep.
They don't have Opie Edwards.
Right.
Because, strangely, he's gone out on loan this week to Sholing in Southern Premier.
Has he really?
South, or Southern Premier
One. He's better
than
that, isn't he?
A really weird move. They're down towards the bottom of the league, but they don't look as if they're going down.
Yeah.
They're nowhere near going up. So why Weston have parted with, you know, unless they're looking to do some kind of permanent deal for next season or something. But Opie Edwards is playing for Sholing. That's in Southampton, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And they are the same division as Tiverton, and they are in a relegation battle with Tiverton at the moment.
Tiverton are struggling this season, aren't they? I hadn't realised until our mate Lewis Clark, who covers Tiverton, sent me a couple of messages this week saying that you know, it's really not gone well for them this season. Other things to mop up before we move on, because we've taken a lot of time this week.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff to pack in.
There is. The Taunton away game is now on Tuesday, April the 16th. It was on Wednesday the 17th.
Yeah, it was on Wednesday because Truro were going to be playing on the Tuesday at Taunton.
Yeah.
Now Truro have decided to finish their season in Gloucester, 200 miles away from the Cornish city. And now Taunton can bring that game back to the Tuesday.
Yeah. And we, of course, will be playing away to Truro on the 9th of April.
Yep.
And that, presumably, will be at Gloucester.
It will be at Gloucester.
So
on a plastic pitch.
We thought, at the start of the season, we thought we might be going to play in Cornwall. Then it was going to be at Plymouth Parkway.
Yeah.
Then it was going to be at Taunton. Now it's going to be at Gloucester.
Yeah.
Chaotic season for Truro.
And they've got, what, 11 games left to play in
3
weeks?
11 games to play in 3 weeks, yeah.
Wow.
How on earth they do that, I really don't know. Another little bit of news from Playmore on April the 27th. Playmore hosts the Southwest Counties League Cup final for the under-18s.
Okay.
The Gary Else Memorial Trophy. Torquay played Bridgewater in the final. And Torquay will be going to win that 3 times on the trot.
Yes.
So that'll be quite a game.
It'd be nice for people to turn out for that as well, wouldn't
it? Bristow's bench is open.
A week after the end of our season.
Yeah. I think it's a fiver, but check that on the website. Be good to come along and give the under-18s a bit of a send-off.
Yep.
Ex-goals in action. While I was away, Wealdstone 2 filed 1, goals from Dylan De Silva and Manny Duku.
Yep.
2 ex-goals on. Olaf Kazela scored again for Dorchester against Salisbury. Well done him. And another penalty for Scott Rendell for Tottenham against Beaconsfield in front of 1,200 people. They're
the biggest ex-goal of the week.
Go on.
Jamie Reid.
Jamie Reid for Mansfield.
No, Jamie Reid for Northern Ireland. Did you not see it?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he scored for Northern Ireland last week.
Really?
Yeah. 7 minutes on his debut.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, well done to him. That passed me by. That's
because you were cruising somewhere.
You could knock me down with a feather. Oh, well done, Jamie Reid. Brilliant. A former guest on the podcast.
Yeah.
And heartbreak from a penalty shootout.
Heartbreak for you. Yeah.
Heartbreak for a penalty shootout. Yeah. Kiefer Moore had a great game for Wales. Close to a man of the match game, apart from Conor Roberts and people like that.
Yeah.
Good to see Kiefer playing well. His header set up the goal that was disallowed. He forced a great save from Chesney, the one and only, in the Polish goal.
Oh.
Good to see Alan Nil on the bench as
well.
He's Robert Page's number two there. I hate penalty shootouts, Rich.
They're rubbish, aren't they?
I've seen Brixham lose 2 penalty shootouts this season. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw one. They lost another one. There's always Ashton Gate, which is too soon to talk about.
Too soon.
And now Wales have gone out of the Euros on a penalty shootout.
Yeah, it's a shame. It would have been good for Wales to be there, but...
There you go. Yeah. So... The rain seems to have eased off.
It's stopped raining. Well, it's not stopped, is it? It's still dotting.
It's a momentous day, this. We might have been sitting in the car talking to a representative of the consortium that's going to come in and save Torquay United.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
With a fair wind. It would be nice to think so. We've got people involved that we know. We know they're Torquay United fans.
Yep.
We know they've got the club at heart. That's all very well, but you know they need to have the wherewithal to do the job.
Absolutely,
that's the next stage, isn't it?
Absolutely. Look, any positive news right now is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Keep your negative views to yourself and just support the club.
But this feels positive, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The right people are involved. If they get the right advice, if they get the right financial backing, this could be the start of something quite exciting. But who knows where we go next season? Who knows the big questions? Yeah. Do we stay full-time? Do we go part-time?
All these questions, I know, it's scary, isn't it?
It is very scary.
It's like uncharted waters, isn't it?
Yeah, how many of the people that we see attached to Torquay United at Yeovil tomorrow
will still be
will
here? Yeah.
We see at the first game of next season?
Depends what we are for a start, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. So, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty, but it sounds very positive. I'm glad we've had a chat. Thanks very much to Aaron Downs for chatting to us. Thanks to Nick Broderick for making time in what's an extremely busy day to chat with us. We'll talk again to people from the consortium as time goes on.
We will. And it's nice to have a proper podcast back, because we didn't have one 2 weeks ago because you were away, and then I kind of put something together.
I listened to it yesterday. It was very good. Hayden was great. Aaron was great. You were great, mate.
That little intro, I tried to do it about 5 times. And when I made the mistake on the last bit, calling Hayden Jones, or calling Aaron Jones, Hayden Downs, or whatever it was, I thought, that'll have to do.
That will just have to do. It was great. It kept the pot boiling.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's nice to be back. Nice to be back in sunny Torquay.
Of course it is, Guy.
So,
Guy's already been ribbed by Tim Herbert of the Torby Weekly about having the audacity to go away to see some sun.
I know. I was only away for 8 days. It wasn't 2 weeks either. It just happened to be 2 Thursdays. If you're going to Yeovil tomorrow, safe journey.
Yep.
See you there.
Yep.
The supporters coach is going. I'm looking forward to that. It's always a good day out when you go on the supporters coach.
Let's hope their pitch is all right.
Yeah, hope so. Back here again at Playmore on Monday, and after which there will be just the 5 games to go.
Crikey.
Until the season is all
there
over.
There we go.
What will we
what
do
What a season
ourselves?
It's been.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us as ever. And we'll finish as we always do. Come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. For the pride, buckle up.